Welcome to the Fantasy Hockey Pros Podcast.
No shortage of things to talk about today. We're talking winners and losers from the trade deadline, and I mean players. Many gained value, many lost value, but first, let's introduce the boys and then we'll get right into it. Eth, how are you, my friend?
Tired.
But we had a bender for the past week.
Yeah, I don't think that's why he's tired.
We had a fantastic time. I really miss Mike being down here, guys. It was such a good time. First time down here since I moved down. So, you know, he got to see how I'm doing things down here a little bit.
Listen, Mike's version of a week-long bender was he drank 3 Michelobes, got absolutely turned in bed by 9, and that's turned up for Mike.
It was a brotherly love bender. That's my kind of bender.
I love those good benders.
That's good times. Well, yeah. We played some golf. We played
Mike,
pickleball.
Mike, how nice was it golfing in the middle of the winter?
Oh, God.
How many rounds of golf?
I played like shit for 2 of the 3 rounds.
Yeah, I saw that.
I know you saw that, but it was good. It was good. Anth, you put up quite a round yesterday. What happened there?
I don't know. You know, it was.
What'd you shoot, Anth?
I don't want to talk about it.
It was so I thought somebody else was recording a score.
No, it was just like, it's one of those rounds you forget about it. It didn't happen.
We're talking on the bad scale.
Bad.
You're talking.
Oh,
you're
I thought
talking
you
like
put
a
up like
round.
A 77 or something. I'm like, let's talk about it.
No, you're like talking like about a me round.
No, oh, yeah. No, I know. It wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad. It was just like, bruh, you might have beat me if you were there yesterday.
Well, like beat me because like you're talking about like when I first started golfing or like by the
right
time
now.
You left and I was like in my zone. Oh,
right now.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So you shot uncharacteristic for what you've been doing in the past
year.
I did. Basically.
It's just, you know, okay. It's just one of those rounds.
Whatever. Every golfer has
triple digits.
Listen,
yeah.
even Harry Higgs has some trouble sometimes. Okay. So
the question is, was it triple digits, Anth?
No. I don't think I could shoot triple digits if I tried. It was just very bad.
Well,
Okay. Yeah, whatever, man. You just throw that one away. It's all good. Get back to the game.
Before we get to the other voices on the pod here, I'll just more about my trip. You know, I had a great time. Played a lot of pickleball, golf. We went to this concert, and my brothers, these guys, dragged me to this Spanish concert. Not that I don't like I like the music. It was very good, but I was sitting up in the cheap seats while they were down there as I got a last minute ticket. And
you were by your lonesome? How was the concert by your lonesome?
Yeah, it wasn't bad because, you know, it was the Spanish group Morat, they're called. Very good.
Morat. Yeah, check them out. Okay.
They cater to, not they cater, but their audience is mostly like probably
Hispanic.
Women 20 to 30, we'll say.
Oh, buddy, I would have gone there by myself, 100%, no problem.
Actually,
maybe closer to 20.
I will say, no, Brian would have been walking around with a chub.
Probably.
Like, I mean, he usually is, but he would have been extra raging.
Yeah. I have one right now.
Especially you have that. It's always raging. You have that concert in Miami. Like, yeah, there's some talent walking around. But
I'm
anyway, so I'm in the back, and I got the opportunity to watch people, and I don't know. I felt like an old man because you're watching people that like record the whole concert on their phone, and it's like we all know this, like we've all done it for portions of concerts, maybe the start, maybe a song you like you never revisit the video.
Never. Ever.
Right, maybe a day after, but in 6 months from now you're not even going to know that video exists.
Delete them all.
But man,
concert?
I saw
no.
Some people for songs and songs and songs not only recording it the whole time, recording themselves singing it.
The whole turnaround. Hey,
the whole singing. It was. I wanted to get up and leave. It was so. I couldn't stand to watch it.
It
was brutal. You can't stop looking.
Can I take a stab and say 97% of those people doing that, especially filming themselves, were females?
There were two guys that were taking a lot. Yeah. They were on the same team, like, I will say that.
Yeah, yeah, that's the, essentially the same thing, yeah.
So, but, man, it was a sight. And, but overall, I mean, a great concert, great trip. Missed my brother already. Missed both of them. But, you know, we'll be doing that.
Joe, we're going to go fuck off this episode.
Yeah. Hold on. I wanted to say this because it's...
I'm crawling underneath the table right now. I'm doing this old Costanza falling asleep here.
There's two types of videos that everyone takes and nobody ever rewatches. Okay. The first is like at a concert. Just do not do it. Just delete those videos. The second type are videos of fireworks. Everyone takes videos
of
fireworks. For what reason? Who watches it the next day and is like, that right there, that was my favorite part. I love that. Like,
oh, that finale was amazing. Oh, my God. Look how many.
Oh, my God. But let's get to these guys, Mike.
Yeah. Joe, how are you, bud?
Good, buddy. I'm sore from shoveling snow, but I'm good.
Oh, my gosh. Did we get a dumping here? Yeah. Great. I can't. I'm so happy.
You guys got hit more than we did. It's funny. It's the further north you went, the less you got.
Well, we got destroyed.
I live in a condo, so I don't deal with these things. But of course, I was at my in-laws, and I'm not a piece of shit son-in-law. I'm not a piece of shit son-in-law. So now I got a shovel again. I'm like, this is fun.
You don't have a blower?
Well, no, you do. But it was a heavy.
I had to shovel it. To blow it because it was so much fell, but it was hard, so it was compact. It was clogging up. Couldn't do anything.
Yeah,
not good. Not good coming home to that. It was not fun. Brian, what's going on in your world? Should we get to you with a question? How's that? We have a question from the audience. We'll get to you with a question.
Look at that smile.
And that question,
depending how this question goes, I may not be back on another episode for a while.
This question's from your brother, actually.
Well,
definitely
question not coming back.
Question for Brian. When are we going to hear a story about him meeting a nice girl, falling in love, and starting a family?
Oh, boy.
Keep waiting, Grad.
Considering I'm going to be in Arizona in a month or two again, it's probably not going to be till at least after that.
No, he's going to see his family in Arizona.
One of them.
The family I started at your bachelor party, Mike.
Yes. That's
right. You got to check in on her.
You got to check in, you know? You got to live two lives, but you always got to see the fam, see what's up.
Yeah.
By the way, did anyone watch the Jones Gone fight last night?
Nope. Did not. He's a champ.
Buddy, John Jones is effing back, bud. He took this guy, heavyweight, 16-1, number one contender, and tapped him out in 2.5 minutes. And it was like gone. Wow. Like, and Johns has a pro V1 barrel now. He's still an assassin, but he's put on a little bit of weight. But man, it looked like vintage John Jones, dude. I'm like, this guy is gonna run that division. He's the greatest fighter of all time.
And now this fight was like 40 pounds, 50 pounds. I think he put on. He was 204 to 248.
Greatest of all time? Does he really get that?
Dude, I think he does.
He's 27-1, and the only one he lost was because of a forfeit or something like that, disqualification. He's undefeated.
An illegal elbow.
Yeah, he's the greatest pound for pound UFC fighter of all time. He absolutely destroyed light heavyweight, and it looks like he's going to destroy heavyweight.
Like, can you imagine if he didn't happen? He'd have a lot more wins under his belt if he didn't go through all the legal issues and all that garbage.
Yeah. He's gone through some things. He's definitely, in his post-fight speech, Joe Rogan looked like a midget compared to him. And Joe Rogan's a big dude, but John Jones is massive. And he seemed very turned by the Lord, let's say, because he was thanking God and prayer, you know, the people that were praying for him. He felt every single one of them. Sure you did, bud. And so it seems like he's like super excited to be back. And if this guy is this focused all the time, oh man, we're going to see a run here.
Yeah.
That's the way I think about you. You know, if you're focused, you see quite a run out of you out of podcast episodes, you know?
Hey man, I was pushing it today. I'm the one who said 8:30. Let's get going. Let's fire it up.
Thankfully. Cause
no, Brian,
got a busy
Mike,
day today.
I was the first one
us.
On here with Mike. Mike was like, this is weird. And I'm like, yeah, well, don't get used to it, but I'm here now.
That's it. Brian's ready to go, man. We had a very long, in-depth chat about his life and everything. He he was so crushed that he doesn't remember the conversation, but I got a lot of good info out of him.
I'm glad somebody did, buddy. I'll let you give me the Coles notes later on.
You really don't remember anything.
Not much, buddy.
So he called you and he was just crippled and you spoke for a while.
I wasn't slurring words.
Him and a buddy of ours just randomly FaceTimed me. Was it Friday night?
No, it was Thursday.
Thursday night. Thursday night. Just randomly FaceTimed me at night and while I was chilling and watching the Leaf game. It took me about 3 to 4 minutes to realize that this guy was totally crippled. Which, getting crippled on a Thursday night, Brian, I mean...
you know what it was?
Maybe you don't have it all together.
Here's the problem. Well, I never said I did, but here's the problem. I had an off day, right? This was my off day because I worked Saturday, so Thursday was my day. And earlier in the week, Mike, our friend Mike, said, what day, like, are you off this week any day? I'm like, Thursday. And he goes, okay, come by, we'll do lunch. I'm like, all right. So I went by, another friend of ours was there. This guy put out a spread. And Mike loves cooking, right? He's such a good dude. Put out a spread, and it's like 2 o'clock, and he's like, what are we drinking? I'm like, I don't know, whatever. So we make a couple of vodka sodas. Fast forward 10 hours, we finished 2 bottles, tequila. We're having this, that. I'm like, okay. I don't even know how this is possible. It was just 2 of us just going ham. So then you were part of that, and, you know. I don't remember, so there you go.
Yeah, that is a like a trait of Mike's. It's Mike's, a great trait. Mike's, but like,
you can't
be with
there
him. Yeah, no, but touched. You can't be with him, and he's like, you have to have a drink in your hand. It could be like Sunday morning, and like you're at church, and he's like, you have to have this. Like,
yeah, put some OJ in there with a little vodka, and you're good. Which I respect.
What did Brian tell you? What the, are we gonna? Is he
we
gonna
don't
change
need to. We got a show to do, guys. We got a show to do. We got a lot of trades. Yeah, let's go. Let's get into it.
Okay, I can't out him. You know, he's my boy.
Come on, man. Okay. Let's go.
I do. Right. Can let's... I? Like, because I'm superstitious, I need to make an amendment to an earlier statement. Because I believe the golf gods are gonna come after me for saying I couldn't shoot 100.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. I could definitely shoot
100.
Oh,
you angered the gods of the greens, buddy.
You can. I had to get that out of my system, and we can carry on now.
You're gonna have 0 green and reg and fairways hit next round. Bad, it's just gonna slice and hook. Coming. Yeah. 4 putts all day.
No. I had to get that out of my system.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's go. We can continue, Mike.
Okay, let's continue. Let's talk trades. We'll save the fantasy players of the night till a little bit later in the show. Let's get to what everybody wants us to get to. Finally, after 12 minutes, it's the fallout from the trade deadline.
And we made the best decision in the world not to do one last week because would have been thrown in the garbage.
You're right. Yeah, absolutely right.
Because last weekend and early on in the week was a disaster.
Yeah. Okay, let's start with probably the biggest one. I mean, we can argue what the biggest one is, but I think it's showtime being on Broadway, and that's Patty Kane to the Rangers. Mm-hmm. The deal that was rumored for a while, seems like he absolutely strong-armed Chicago to go there, which good for the Rangers.
Only team.
But, I mean, what do we think about this? Is he going to regain Patty Kane form that we've seen and been accustomed to over the past few years?
Well, I mean, he regained it at the end of his tenure in Chicago this year. Mm-hmm. He was on fire, probably because he wanted to get traded. So if he just continues what he was doing then they're going to be just fine.
Yeah. It's playing with Panarin and Trocheck on, I guess you could say, the second line. But I think point per game is absolutely attainable.
Mm-hmm.
Probably... who loses value here, even though he's playing with him 5-on-5, but Trocheck's not on the top power play unit. And, I mean, we can argue... like, I was watching that game yesterday. They had a power play. It was a little... they were a little lost out there. Like, Zibanejad's in the slot. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what that's about. That's horrible.
That's the problem.
I think you also have... you have a couple new additions, and it's like... couple guys who can play on the power play, and then it's just they had a good thing going, and sometimes you slot a guy in and you move other guys around thinking like, okay, and then it just chemistry, rhythm gets off, and you know, I think they'll get it together, but they may be switching more guys around and putting different guys in different spots.
I think they'll eventually get it together. It's just more so like it seems like the Rangers of old where they try to get so much talent on their team, like pre-salary cap, they bought their team, and then it feel just like didn't work out.
Like, the early 2000s Rangers when they just loaded up every year. Because, like, you know, you get Tarasenko and Kane to a team that's already good. Like, that's pretty...
To a team that already has Panarin and Zibba and...
But, if that stays, it hurts Zibanejad because that guy's, like, clockwork on the left side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's... And then... They gotta figure that out. They got 20 games here.
They will.
The Leafs are in a sort of similar situation, but
yeah,
it's when you got too many cooks in the kitchen, like we've seen it in the past. It's just sort of you gotta find your refine your mojo. Everyone's gotta sort of find their place in the lineup, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it also not to bring it back to the Leafs, but because you touched on it, Ant. I think there's a difference between making couple big moves or a couple deadline moves, and then there's a difference of turning over a third of your roster when a team is pretty good and working well as it is. It takes time for a team to learn how to play together. I mean, the Leafs have had 17 different D pairings in the last two games just to see who works well with who's playing well with what. Yeah. It's not just going to click immediately right away. It's going to take time. And even if the guys that were getting shipped out on any team are not as good as the guys coming in, sometimes they work well with the players that are on the team and they have chemistry. And when you lose that, you know, a guy playing on the third or fourth line, even though he gets 10 minutes a game, he knows exactly where his line mate's going to be. He knows exactly where to put the puck because they've been playing together, whatever. You slot in somebody new and all of a sudden that guy's not there. Positions change. You don't really know. It takes time. So I think they're going to be fine. But in the immediate return, like you might see a bit of an issue for multiple teams.
0-0-0.
The one big difference between the Leafs and the Rangers there, the Rangers brought in like star guys.
Star guys. The
Leafs brought in more depth guys, right?
Bottom of the line guy. But their defense is they're going playing up and down the line.
Strictly talking
right?
from a fantasy.
Yes, element, for sure. Right? Yeah.
Do we think the Rangers have enough to beat the Canes in the second round? Actually, forget even the second round. Like the
Devils.
The first rounds, like in the East, and those 2-3 matchups, like you got Leafs, Lightning, and then like Devils, Rangers, probably. You know that side can still shake out. The Metro can still shake out a little bit, but those matchups are insane. And then even the second rounds, you're gonna see like Boston, Toronto, Boston, Tampa, and then Carolina Rangers. Say like those matchups are just insane. The East is a gauntlet. It's an absolute gauntlet.
And we've seen in the last month and a half, that's who's made all the deals or all the significant deals. Anyways, they've seen Boston's loaded up, and players have already returned dividends. The Rangers have definitely loaded up. The Leafs have. I could say loaded up in terms of just adding a lot of key depth, but like, you know, Ryan O'Reilly's a big deal. But just all these teams are just like, well, one team's doing it, we got to do it. And it's a shame because out of all these teams that loaded up, half of them are going to be gone in the first round. So like, you did all that, you paid all that to just be out in seven games. So
yeah, one of the other teams that loaded up was the Devils. They got, personally to me, I think was the biggest acquisition. I don't think Kane necessarily was. I think Timo was the biggest acquisition.
I love Timo.
At the deadline.
If he ever plays again.
Yeah. Timo, another deal that was rumored for a while, Timo Meier to the Devils. The Devils score goals, man. And like having their goalie, they come back all the time when they're down by a goal or two. Like, they're a sick team. They score goals. Meyer's going to do unreal there.
Apparently, Carolina put a hefty package on the table for Meier, but they decided to go with the Devils.
I think Meier coming in for Palat owners, I think you're going to see his production go way down. I think Palat is just a sorry. I think Meier is just a way better Palat.
Much better Palat.
Yeah.
So I think, you're going to feel it if you're a Palat owner. I'm one of them. I might even drop him pretty soon. We'll see how the first few games go. He's probably the guy that takes the biggest hit with Meier coming in. We touched on the Leafs there. Some role players with Shen, McCabe, peripheral guys. I think you can expect more of the same. They brought in Gustafson, who he loses massive value. He goes from playing on the top power play unit with Ovi to PP2 in Toronto, probably in and out of the lineup for a bit. So if you had him, he's droppable at this point. But going over to Washington in that deal, Rasmus Sandin.
I love it.
And man, he had a good debut in Washington. 3 assists, top power play with Ovechkin, of course. Sandin is the guy to pick up right now.
I cannot wait to see Rasmus Sandin turn into Alex Steen. And the Leafs traded him away and then look back and say, man, Alex we had Steen? A player. Alex Steen. Remember when the Leafs traded him away? No. He became a stud in St. Louis, right?
Well, he became a good player.
I wouldn't.
There's a lot of people who are like Alex Steen right now.
Like that's what I'm saying. He wasn't a good
superstar. He had a 4 or 5 year run. Of course he's not a superstar, but he had a 4 or 5 year run in St. Louis where he was a very good player.
But to Ant's point, like Sandin could become, maybe not a superstar, but a really, really good player.
Yeah. If he's getting you 45 to 50 points a game, that would be insane.
That's
if he's getting you 50 points a year playing PP one time and you know like
he won't be playing PP one time. That's the problem.
PP one time.
When Carlson comes back, his value.
He's just good for this next few stretch down the week, down the playoffs for fantasy.
Listen, I just love Sandin, and I hated that they traded him away. So I just want him to come back and bite the Leafs in the ass. That's all I want.
But. Yeah, last night.
Don't ask me why I have a love for. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I just love the guy. So I hope he does great things.
Yeah. Well, a good, very good debut. Like Mike said, almost 22 minutes of ice time and almost 3 minutes on the power play with all the big guns. So
now a little impromptu Johnson or Janssen here because we're comparing new guys in new cities taking over PP1s. Sandin or Klingberg?
Yeah, great one. That was the next guy I was going to go to because I think Klingberg got
that was a sneaky
deal. There was very few teams that Klingberg could go to where he would have like a huge increase in value. Minnesota's one of them.
Mm-hmm. So that like screamed to me because I went out and grabbed Klingberg and in one of my other pools and I'm literally after seeing Sandin, I was like, oh, maybe I'll give him a shot, but I literally can't because I'll have 5 defensemen on my team.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know if I can.
Well, I mean, speaking of defensemen trading places and their value upping,
answer this guy's question.
Oh, okay. Well, I know. I wanted to bring another guy into the mix.
Oh,
okay.
He wasn't on PP1 last night, but Chychrun had a great debut with the Sens.
I was going to say, Jacoby finally traded after 3 seemingly 10 years.
So we could toss. Let's toss him into this.
Let's toss him in the three.
Make it a 3-pack.
Okay. I love this. I think, so I'll answer first. I think it depends whether you're looking short term, long term. But because we're in.
Well, it's all short term because it's like what? Last final week of the regular season playoffs.
If it's short term, they all have a. They all
it's
have
go. Yeah, no, it's in fantasy right now. It is go time.
You make you have to make your choices. Yeah. Boom,
and don't even worry about like the implications. Like, there's not enough runway here to really bite you in the ass. Yeah. So I'm saying Sandin is number one.
I think so too.
I think Chychrun's so good. So I'll go Chychrun 2, and Klingberg 3. But I really like
all 3
Klingberg.
Options.
Yeah, it's a really hard one. I mean, all three of them are in great situations. The thing with Chychrun is he's probably not available in your pools.
No,
so,
to pick up, no.
Yeah.
Some shallow leagues. I'll echo Mike's. I think that's the 1-2-3. I can't get it up for a guy that plays on Minnesota. It's like unless your name is Kaprizov or Zuccarello, you never put up good points. Good numbers there.
Plus there's one thing that all those teams don't have. And that's the greatest goal scorer of all time on the left-hand side where you just feather a pass to him. He's probably going to score.
Yeah.
So give me Sandin in that situation. But I do like all 3 as options.
Yeah. The Chychrun situation is interesting because, not on PP1. But you got to think at some point he gets there and then Shabbat is really taking a hit. Yeah. And then Sanderson, future.
You feel bad for Sanderson. Yeah, because what's Chychrun's contract like? I was actually just going to pull it up.
I believe he has 2 more years left.
Yeah, so I mean, Sanderson now, a guy whose outlook was looking pretty good. Like, this guy is going to be a big time fantasy asset in the near future. He has to sort of take a step back now, because when you're behind two guys like Chychrun and Shabbat, kind of sucks.
Yeah.
Which like might work out time. Because who knows, does Chychrun re-up in Ottawa? Like, at that point, are they going to be willing to?
Well, potentially, but that's just down the road. It's like you might not see Sanderson really take that step as a big-time offensive defenseman now for a few years.
And that's my point. That's maybe at that point, that's when Shabbat stays in that second hole. They don't re-up Chychrun, or they trade him or do something, because it's Ottawa and who knows what their financial situation is and stuff like that. And then Sanderson becomes that number one guy when he's ready to take it over. Yeah, he has two more years left after this, Chychrun. So,
just all right, let's keep plugging away here. Next, we had Tyler Bertuzzi move over to the Bruins. Now, I think this is great for the Bruins' real-life team. Awesome. Bertuzzi should be great in the playoffs. Fantasy-wise, I think Bertuzzi takes a really big hit, going from Larkin's wing to third-line winger. Yeah,
Hall spot right now because Hall's injured, right? So
yeah. And net front on PP2. They're not gonna, unless that power play, the top power play unit goes to shit for a few games, they're not gonna change it. They're not gonna mess with the check line, and the Bergeron, Marchand, DeBrusk line seems to be rolling. I just don't see a pathway here for Bertuzzi to be like very fantasy relevant for the rest of the regular season, fantasy regular season.
I don't know if I see a pathway for this team to lose in the playoffs, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, it's playoffs is a new game, but you're right. Like, fastest team to 100 points? What?
I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to put it up there.
Oh, here we go.
They're going to get upset in the first round, baby.
No way. God. If any wild card teams wins in the first round, and on in the East, it is,
it'd be a shock. A thousand percent.
This reminds me of, remember, was it last year when Sutter said, yeah, you just squeak into the playoffs and your reward is to get Colorado. So that's a quick first round exit. Literally any coach could say that about the wild card team getting into playing Boston in the first round, because it would be a massive upset.
It would be.
I want to see Ottawa do it. I would like to see
Ottawa, Buffalo, or Pittsburgh.
I was really pushing for Detroit to make the playoffs, but that's not going to happen. I kind of want to see Buffalo. I don't know. Like, I don't like the Sabres, but it would be fun to see. They got some good studs there.
Oh, my boy Tate. Plus Buffalo,
Boston, a short trip. Like, they're not very far. You'll get fans going either way. Yeah, that'll be interesting.
What would make Ottawa or Buffalo against Boston great is because you have Ottawa and Buffalo that have nothing to lose, no expectation.
Mm-hmm.
It's all like house money,
and they're going to be a team that finishes 45 points less than
exactly
Boston.
And as good as Allmark's been this year, he has no playoff experience. Zero.
Yeah,
so
that's a big deal.
Yeah,
Joe, they're not losing in the first round, so
no, they're not.
No, but let's actually stick with goalies. Some goalie trades we had.
You know.
Sorry, Joe froze up a bit. But we have Korpisalo that moved over to LA to probably play in a tandem with Copley. I mean, would you guys say that Korpisalo is the number one now?
No, Copley's been really good, so I don't think they just, you know, give him the hook.
Yeah.
LA might make the playoffs. That's a wild thing too.
Who? LA?
LA, yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Korpisalo definitely has value in LA, and then John Quick over to Vegas. I mean, I think he eventually. I mean, Aiden Hill's playing really well, but I think Quick probably gets a string of starts until Logan Thompson comes back and reclaims his net. There's been no indication on when that's going to happen, though.
Can you imagine Quick takes over the team, sort of regains form? And first round matchup against his old Kings, and he gets to stick it to him. That would be one West series I'd actually watch, because the East would take up so much of my time. But I'm like, that's a great storyline that I'd love to see.
That's a matchup you probably could see in the second round. That would be something.
That'd be awesome.
That would be amazing. All right, moving on here, probably to some lesser deals, but still guys that may have increased in value.
Domi to Dallas.
Domi to Dallas. Domi and Dadanov are now on Dallas. Mm-hmm. That's more depth pieces. I mean, it's a tough one, right? Like, Domi moves from top everything to second power play, third line.
Playing with Seg, I mean, thing is, like, they have, like, Wyatt Earp Johnson playing second line center right now. So, like,
Mike's boy.
You could see, like, Max Domi kind of taking over the role. Like, you know, I mean, he's been really good in Chicago. So, there's I don't think there's, like, he's obviously depth right now, but there's opportunity to have a bigger role, I think.
That guy needs to find a home somewhere because he is just bouncing around from year to year, it seems.
Yeah.
As of right now, Dallas would meet Colorado in the first round.
Ooh, that's a series.
That's a series.
Who wins that series?
I'll tell you this much. I would stay away from Dallas. But
you would be... Imagine being a Stars fan or whatever, even like a player there. You're just like, come on. Like, really?
We win
the conference and that's who we get in the first round?
Yeah. Well, because I think that has more to do with Colorado kind of having the year they have more than Dallas, right? Dallas has just kind of hummed along, done what they've done the past few years. And Colorado's kind of in the weeds a bit, but...
Uh-huh. I mean, it probably won't happen. Like, Colorado like 8 points out of winning the conference.
Yeah, the problem is that the East
Jets are only
just
1 point up on them. So
the East is so dominating, and it's like literally the top 7 of 9 teams come from the East, and it's just like I can't, like, obviously there's going to be good matchups in the West, but it's like, yeah, but none of them are going to be as good as like the 2 or 3 big ones in the East. You know what I mean? So
and you kind of have your 8 in the West set, sort of. It's like 5 points separate the last wild card spot and the Preds. So
Flames suck.
Yeah, no, that's your. There's not. You're not going to see any races in the West. That's your 8
points.
Right there.
You never know.
It's Colorado's not getting caught, right? Like, no, you see Colorado missing the playoffs?
No.
That's what I'm saying. You're not, and Edmonton's not going to miss either. They're only 3 points up on Colorado, but they're not missing. The only team that I could see shit in the bed down the stretch is Seattle.
Yeah.
But
it's a possibility.
However, I will say the Preds do have 4 games in hand on the Oilers.
But there you go.
So that's
Speaking of Preds and Oilers, they made a trade this week or last week, sending Tyson Barry to Nashville, Ekholm to Edmonton. For Ekholm, I mean, maybe a very slight bump in value. He's on a more offensive team. Maybe he chips in some assists from the back, but really nothing much there. For Tyson Barry, this is one of the worst things that could have happened for his fantasy value. I mean, from the top power play in Edmonton to PP2 with who knows what plugs Nashville's putting out there. Not good.
No, but it would give the boost, the bump to Bouchard in Edmonton.
Absolutely huge. Right? He's probably one of the biggest winners of the deadline, and he didn't even go anywhere.
Nope.
Yeah, we should have made it a 4-pack with him. You know, still the same team, but his value definitely skyrocketed.
Yeah, you're right. Bouchard or
Sandin?
Who was our Sandin?
Rest of season.
Bouchard, Sandin, Klingberg, and Chikrin. Those were the 4.
I might put Bouchard number 1.
That's the number. That power play is insane.
Wow. My only fear there is if they don't. If he's not a mainstay.
Well, who's it going to be? Nurse is not.
Nurse has been there before.
Yeah, but he's not. He just. It doesn't fit in.
I know.
Over there.
You're 100% right. It's just. He's been there before, so they've went to that well before, and I don't know if it was under Woodcroft or if it was Tippett.
Went out of it because it didn't work.
No, but him and Bouchard were rotating before. I think when Barry was hurt, if I'm not mistaken.
Did you guys, watching that Oilers-Leafs game, I watched the first period and then I shut it off, but they had mentioned, obviously we've talked about Nuge a lot on this show this year. He's having an incredible year, but they had brought up, I mean, with 20 games left in the year, the guy's 40 power play points already. Like, I know other guys on the team probably even have more, but just like, I don't know, for whatever reason, that number just stuck out to me for that player. And I'm like, 40 power play points? Like, with 20 games left to go, like, he could have 50-plus power play, which is insane to me. But anyways, that was just wild thing.
It's wild. I think Draisaitl just passed the record for Edmonton player with the most power play goals in a season. And, like, he only has, like, 40... How many? He doesn't have that many, like, as like a crazy number of goals like we're used to. Like, McDavid's leading the way there, but it's wild. That power play is just sick.
Yeah, like the
power play is nasty.
They don't stand still.
They're 1-2-3 in power play points on the season.
Oh, man.
How many power play goals does Dry have, Joe?
Goals, he has 26. And yeah, he like leads the NHL.
26 goals on the power play.
Yes.
26. And he leads.
Is that good?
He's 7 above... Zibba.
Zibba's got more this season?
No, he's 7 above.
7
Zibba's.
Above him. Oh, seven, so seven. Even 19 goal. Like, he'll probably finish with 24 on the year or something.
And Connor 25. Has 18.
That's pretty crazy.
That is stupid. That he Banana like there's a quarter of the season remaining and this guy has 26 goals just on the power play.
Well, you're talking about Nuge. Like, Brian, you're talking about Nuge with his 42 points on the power play?
Mm-hmm.
You can. We know who the top two are.
Well, yeah,
Connor and Leon. Yeah. How many points do you think they have on the power play?
They have over 50.
Draisaitl second with 49. McDavid with first with 58.
58 power play points.
Yeah.
That's hilarious, it's
just,
man.
So just for shits and giggles, like this is like he has 58 points. If I'm not mistaken, on the power play. If I'm not mistaken, I think Matthews has 61 total points on the year.
Wow.
Stupid.
So just 61, yeah. So just comparing, like...
Yeah. Okay, let's stick with some of the other deals here that could have seen players increase value. Pierre Engvall from Toronto Islanders.
Really?
Honestly,
why are we talking
about
this?
Only mentioning it because they put him on the top line. They put him on the top line. It's not going to last. He's shit. But
why mention it? We could delete this out right now.
Just saying, he's on the top line. Anyone on the top line gets
guys,
a little.
And something more relevant because Pierre Engvall is just nonsense. Edmonton's power play is 32% this year, which is 7% higher than any other team. However, concurrently, their penalty kill is 75, which ranks in the bottom 10 in the league. So basically, special teams is. For either team that's playing that day, you're scoring or you're getting scored on, either one. So get some power play, score on them. But if you do get a penalty, you are definitely going to get scored on.
Well, their power play, if I'm not mistaken, is tops. It's challenging, I think, the Habs. I can't remember what year it is.
Of all time, right?
Of all time.
Yeah.
So that goes to show you what they are doing this year.
Yeah, they lead the league in goals four per game, but they're also bottom half in goals against per game. So like I said, they're just a team where it's just goal fest every night.
They are tied right now for the best power play in NHL history at 31.9% with the 1977-78 Habs.
Wild. I don't want to see it happen.
So,
and then them lose in the first round.
Like, we haven't seen that since. We haven't seen that since about 3 years ago, three seasons ago, when the Oilers did it, and they're the fifth best power play they had in 1920.
Wow,
Gretzky. None of it matters if Stuart Hunter Skinner and Jack Campbell Chunky Soup can't stop the puck though.
Well, listen to this. Matters. Gretzky's most power play points in one season is probably a lot lower than you guys would expect.
64.
65? Ooh.
He's going to. Is that the record?
No, the McKay record is Lemieux with 80. So probably out of reach for McDavid. I don't know. 22. Mm-hmm. He needs what? 23 points to, or 22 to match?
22 to beat it.
No, he has 58.
He's at 59, Joe said. No, or 58?
58.
So 23 to beat it? I mean, look, man, I'm not going to put anything past this guy. I don't think he's going to do that, but, I mean, he's scoring 70, so.
Yeah. All right, can we finish with a few other ones? Deep league.
Not if they're Engvall type shit. I don't want to hear that
deep,
nonsense.
Some deep leaguer increases in value. Puljujarvi is going to play for Carolina this week. If I'm in a deep league, I'll give him a shot. Nino Niederreiter is playing in the top six in Winnipeg. Deep leaguer, giving him a shot. Dmitry Orlov, we haven't talked about that one yet. He's going to cool off. This is a hot start.
It's a hot streak. If you got him when he got traded, good for you, but he's going to cool off a tad.
That's going to cool for sure. What else we have here? Tanner Janot to Tampa. Meh. Little bump there.
No bump.
Vrana, if he plays for St. Louis, I'd be interested to see what he can do there. Eller, Colorado. Granlund, Pittsburgh. And Johansson, Minnesota. There's
I was surprised Rana didn't play on Saturday night or Saturday during the day with
who knows what. I don't know. I don't want to start any rumors, but that guy's dealing with some demons, maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
Like, I just dropped them for Sandin. I did the five defense pickup.
Yeah.
Let's see how that goes.
On the pod.
Let's go that. Let's do that.
Okay.
Is that it for the trades?
That's it for the trades. Speaking of Rana, though, Spencer Knight joined the player assistance program since the last time we spoke. So hope the best for him. We'll see where that goes. But in terms of the rest of the year, he's pretty much useless. Hopefully he bounces back next year.
That's Ant's going in that program if he keeps having rounds like he did the other day.
Yeah. Or if you keep getting crushed on Thursday nights.
Yeah, I think yeah. Between you two.
No, the players condone that kind of behavior. What are you talking about?
Wait, Mike, because I didn't mention it, because I brought up total power play points in a season, I have to put this, like, the record for power play goals in a season is also Lemieux with 31. So another record.
That's obtainable.
Another all-time record within reach there in Edmonton because of that sick, sick power play. And speaking of Edmonton, I mentioned that Dallas might have to meet Colorado in the first round. If you're Vegas and you win that conference, you might be looking at Edmonton in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So those wild card spots are pretty dicey in the West.
The first round is always the best. I can't wait.
Solution to beat the Oilers: do not take a penalty in the playoffs. Literally.
Just don't take it.
First round hockey. Hey, Brian, we might be together for some of the first round. Little Leafs Lightning action there in Arizona.
I would think so, probably, yeah. Or, yeah, tail end of the first round.
Hey,
maybe?
Guys.
Yeah, should be tail end.
Depending when the first round.
Oh, I don't want to hear it if it's something stupid.
No, the draft lottery. If I'm not mistaken, I think the draft lottery happens in the first round. If Zona wins, you guys are there, there might be some parties going on.
Listen, they would have to care about hockey to have a party about winning the lotto, okay?
Yeah, that was an absolute reach. Like, a complete reach.
I wanted to set you up, Bri, for that so bad. I wanted this spike to come down.
The alley-oop, I got you, brother. I got you.
Like, people in Arizona, Bri, are going to be throwing parties because they obtained the first-round pick in hockey.
Yeah, we'll have a bigger party. We'll be more recognized at the W pool, and we're nobodies from Toronto, than actual Arizona Coyotes at the same pool. That's what we're talking about here.
Oh, that's good. Okay, other things that happened this week. Interesting things. Extensions. Pasternak, 8 years, 11.25. Larkin, 8 years, 8.7. I think the money's right. What's really interesting, and I don't want to dig up an old conversation, but these guys got 8 year freaking deals, man.
Yeah, like, that's
how did the GMs get that to happen? What a steal. You know the cap's going up. Pasternak 11.25 in 5 years from now is going to be a cheap contract.
the seventh highest contract, I think, right now, or sixth highest contract in the league.
I just love how you see that Matthews absolutely hosed the Leafs by going 5 years.
They all did. And Marner hosed the Leafs to going, and what, Marner still, went six.
And these guys still had 8 year deals. That's crazy to me.
Yeah, you said the money's right. Like Pasta, if you look at the comparables, I know shit's been kind of stagnant, but he's underpaid, especially at 8 years.
At eight years, he's underpaid. If you just take him for what he's worth, I think he's paid appropriately.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah, I think 8 years makes him.
He's worth, I mean, I guess Matthews does make the same, right? 11.6.
11.6, so it's 500K more or 400K more. So it's roughly that ballpark. It's Panarin's ballpark. Yeah,
fair. I guess right now it's
so right deal. Now
it's the eight years that makes
it's the extra three that he gets.
A great deal, right.
Yeah.
Well, if Matthews signs an extension this offseason, he's not playing his way into 13 mil, I'll tell you that much. Anyways, that's it for the trades. That's it for the big news. Do you guys quickly want to run through the fantasy players of the night?
Okay, just well, let's run down the guys.
I'll run down the guys. If there's anybody worth mentioning, jump in. Dylan Cousins on last Sunday, 3 goals, 1 assist. Georgiev, 31 save shutout Monday. Kopitar, 4 goals. Actually, the team won shootout, I believe, so big game. Mercer, goal and 3 assists, been hot as shit lately. Orlov, goal and 2 assists, we spoke about him. Aho, Sebastian on Carolina, 2 goals, 1 assist in a 6-1 win over Arizona on Friday. And then Saturday night, we had Gustafsson, 31 save shutout. We've talked about a bunch of these guys in the past. I think I'll end with the last guy. Gustafsson is a goalie all of a sudden. I don't know what this looks like next year. I'm pretty sure Fleury's still under contract, but Gustafsson seems to be taking that job.
And that trade is looking worse and worse for the Senators.
Yeah.
Every day.
Kind of like that Zibba deal.
Yeah. Oh, they've gotten fleeced. Hey, Brassard is still on the team, though.
and Dorian didn't want to trade him because he was playing game 1000 and they wanted to honor him.
Yeah, the teammates Senators probably were like, get rid of him so we don't have to buy him a gift.
But hey, they gotta have some decent odds to make the playoffs. No, they're probably not decent odds to make the playoffs. The Sens. I don't know. You'd have to search around on BetStamp a little bit to see what you can get there.
Yes, Anth. Good point. I almost forgot. BetStamp. Love it. Love it. I didn't almost forget. That was a complete lie.
We love BetStamp.
We've been talking about them for a while now. BetStamp is a very cool tool. It allows you to line shop across all these different sports books. And depending on where you live, you know, if it's legal, you're seeing a shit ton of ads. So there's a lot of them. And the best way to shop for the best line is using BetStamp. You know, you shop for the best flight, you shop for the best hotel, you should be shopping for the best lines. Feel really good about a line, go ahead, go on BetStamp, find the sportsbook that offers the best one, and place your bet that way. What makes BetStamp really cool, and I don't know if I've mentioned this in the past, but you can follow different accounts on BetStamp, and you could basically track their bets, and a record will, you know, have popular as well. So as like FHB, if we track bets weekly, we like certain lines, we'll develop a record eventually, like not eventually, right off the bat. And then people can follow your bets. Be like, wow, FHB is 42-21-6. I want to follow these guys and see what they're betting and play what they're playing. So really cool tool, BetStamp. Guys, get involved with it. Sign up, use the referral code FHB. I mentioned it before, if you guys want free bets to a bunch of sportsbooks, just reach out and we'll hook you up with that.
It's a no-brainer, it really is. It really is. Especially, I find, Mike, we've talked about this in the past, down the stretch, when teams need to win, like never easy. It is never easy to predict a bunch of games right, you know, like for your for whatever you're doing, for if you're placing a bunch of bets. But down the stretch, it does get a little bit easier when, like, you know, you got a team that's in the wild card spot and they need the 2 points and they're going into, or Arizona's coming into town. You know, like, those games are easy to call. You don't see many big time upsets in those games.
Yeah. Great examples. Last night, I played, I'm like, Ottawa against Columbus. Ottawa by a goal and a half all day. That was the easiest lock. And then Winnipeg, Edmonton off of back-to-back in Winnipeg. Winnipeg was winning that game. And I won. I parlayed just the two games, and I won. It's almost easy. You're right, Anth. Like, there's certain times near the end of the season teams have to win. Like, I feel like the underestimating of the shit teams happens earlier in the year, but when you're late in the year, you can't go into games thinking you have it. Like, it's go. And, like, that's why Ottawa was a lock against Columbus.
Yeah. So if you got your lock, you don't get on Betstamp. Get the best odds. Make the most money.
Absolutely. Also, you should be noting when you're betting is some key injuries in the lineups that of the games you're playing. So let's talk about some of them. A while ago, Mackenzie Blackwood got hurt. Seems like he's quite injury prone. I only mentioned this because Akira Schmid is actually a pretty good number three. He came in. He got a shutout this past week or the week before. So Vanacek, Schmid, and Jersey is your tandem. Well, not tandem, but it's your goalie duo. Barzal in New York Islanders looks like a long-term injury. They don't want to say he's done for the year, but seems quite close. Beneficiary is Pierre Engvall. I'm joking.
Okay. I'm leaving right now. I'm quitting. I'm ending my show. Right,
I just needed to wake you up a little bit. You look like you were asleep. Yeah. I needed to wake you up.
Good call.
Fucking Engvall.
Engvall. Pierre-Luc Dubois doesn't seem long term, but he's still out. Konechny looks like he could miss the rest of the year. Taylor Hall, Foligno, we touched on it a little earlier. Alex Tuch. Yeah, as well. Abel Tuck. Do you know more information on Tuck?
He was week to week, as far as I saw, because I got him in one of my pools, and I'm tracking him, and I haven't seen anything recently. But it was the initial diagnosis was week to week, but so was JT Miller, and he played two games already. So like,
yeah. Then Ryan Johansson is going to be having he had surgeries out for 3 months, so the rest of the year. Ryan O'Reilly, we saw last game for the Leafs. He blocked a shot with his hand, didn't return to the game. Not a lot of information out there, but just keep an eye on that one.
What are the, like, Matthews goes down, he takes over the first power play, he gets in placed on the first power play unit, and then first power play, boom, he gets hit with a shot from his own teammate, and there you go.
The Leafs stars had some bad juju on them last night. Tavares got decked a couple times.
Yeah.
Matthews with that
block shot on the inside of the knee. O'Reilly. Woo.
That first Tavares hit was a hit.
Tyler Myers just leveled them. And for anyone saying that was not legal and that should have been a penalty, get your eyes checked. He didn't leave his feet until after the contact was made. No,
just a beautiful hit.
No head picking. It was a pure hockey hit.
Yeah. All right. And then some key returns that we're expecting very soon. Evander Kane is possible for Thursday. What else? Oh, Makar already returned for Colorado. You guys know how I feel about Makar. What are you laughing at?
Brian is so checked out.
I'm paying attention. I'm listening. What? I got nothing to add to this. I'm just listening. Wait.
It was the yawn. It was the yawn that got me.
Yeah.
But it was just like dead-eyed yawn.
Listen, as soon as Engvall made a thing, I checked out immediately. I go, everything else is rudimentary.
Right. You know what you should do? Go pick up Engvall for the playoff run in our pool so you can beat Anth.
My God. Yeah. If Engvall scored me a shorthanded game-winning goal to beat Anth in the first round of the
Engvall's
playoffs,
the new Noah Gregor.
I would buy an Islanders Engvall jersey.
Oh my
Engvall
God.
Is a new Noah Gregor. You have to pick him up.
Put something a little bit more realistic on that. If Engvall scores a game winner, what was it? It was not short-handed. Short-handed game.
I don't even
winner.
Think he plays
to short-handed. Beat me. It has to be to beat me too.
Yeah. No, you can't just score it. That's useless. He's a plug.
Okay.
Are we done here? Or?
Yeah. Last point I want to say. I made a note here. William Eklund got called up for San Jose. Good first game. Eklund's a good little prospect, so just keep an eye on him.
Not necessarily this week, but one thing you mentioned to keep an eye on, college free agents.
Mm.
Okay? It's already been out there, put out there, that Luke Hughes will join the Devils once his NCAA season is over. It's expected Matthews Nye is with the Leafs will be too. Just keep an eye on those situations if you do want to take a flyer on one of those guys in the playoffs, in your fantasy playoffs. They could be interesting pickups.
Yeah, what we have to keep an eye on as a fantasy hockey account is when these guys get added to Yahoo, because they're not on there
yet. But that's exactly my point, because they haven't signed their contract. So it's usually when they sign their contracts, maybe a day later. But that's keep an eye on that, on those situations.
Yeah, so we got to keep the people in the know there. And when you guys, I'll try and help too.
Yeah.
We'll try. To
our Twitter and Instagram. We'll keep you in the know. Actually, another thing that came out of Instagram this week, somebody was really trying to
go ahead, Mike.
No, you did one of these.
So I was trying to map out like what guys to pick up and like who is the best option, and I told them just like set your lineup for the rest of the year and then like look at where this pickup. The guy had one pickup remaining for the rest of the season. Sorry, I forgot your name if you're listening. And yeah, he's like, I need to know who it is. And I said, you got to pick the guy who's going to get in your lineup the most.
That's set the only lineup way to do and it. See where he plugs in.
And he's like, where can I find that? And I'm like, we're gonna have a tool one day on a website where you guys can do that. So
let's get to
I'm
work
putting that out in the open. It's gonna happen one day.
It's news to me, but
because it's so important that needs to be out there.
It is important.
Anyways, let's finish with the week ahead quickly. Typical heavy nights: Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. They're very heavy this week. So not a lot of options in terms of streaming. You're going to have to really look into it. Just find holes in your lineup, add players. Couple I like here. Carolina plays four times. Only one of them is an off night. Puljujarvi, I mentioned him before. Give him a shot. Didn't mention the Gossip spare trade. Not crazy about it from a fantasy perspective, but he's also an option. The Wild also play four times. Two back-to-backs. Hartman here, 31%. Klingberg, we spoke about, 42%. If you can stream them, get them in your lineups. And then the only teams that play Monday, Wednesday, aside from Chicago, is Vancouver and Winnipeg. Some guys are probably looking for a streamer for those two nights. Beauvillier, 18%. He's got 11 points in 13 games as a Canuck. Joe Horvat has 8 in 13, so Beauvillier's got 3 more.
The tracker.
Joe Horvat.
The tracker continues. And as I said before, I also like Niederreiter, 20% owned, 2 assists in 3 games as a Winnipeg Jet. And that's that. Boys, that's the episode. That's the trade deadline fallout.
The deadline, baby. Is they deadline fallout. There's your title.
Or Showtime on Broadway. What do you like more?
Deadline fallout.
We'll discuss.
Okay. If there is no closing remarks, we can end it. I know Brian's doesn't have any closing remarks.
I got one closing remark.
Take a nap. Yeah.
And this should have been on you. A big happy birthday to your wife.
Wow, Amanda gets a happy birthday shout out. Do you want to come on the
Amanda,
show?
Amanda, happy birthday.
From not her husband.
From not her husband.
She says thank you. Doesn't want to be on the show, but she says thank
you. You're welcome.
See, that's a team player right there.
Yeah.
And still owes me a text. What's being
she
said
did
here?
Just say, Anth still owes me a text was her message. He did just wake up.
Yeah, I was going to say, you have like...
She's going to get a text with a little picture as well.
Oh, you're going to get a picture too, Amanda.
Yeah. Hey, don't tell her. Don't open it. Don't open it.
Okay, no, well, tell her to open it.
Don't open Brian's private. Text or, say, mess, or picture.
In, open it in private. Yeah. And then pin it.
I'll DM her on Instagram.
And Brian's going to DM you. He's got he's got a lot of photos banked.
He's
going to
slide into your DM.
I don't even have to use new ones. I got a few in the holster.
His go-to is from like 5 years ago.
Amanda wants your best photo, she said.
Uh-oh, buddy. Ironically, it's me doing this pose.
Didn't Ed once see that on your phone?
Probably.
Yeah.
I did. He was going through some pictures, and he did a quick swipe on one. He's like, oh, hope you didn't see that one.
It was impressive, though. All right, let's wrap it up.
Let's go here. Okay, guys.
Another tight hour once again. That's fantastic. We are absolutely the worst.
That's okay. I hope fans appreciate it. Guys, thank you guys for listening, as always. We'll be back next week with more to talk about. It's a fun time in hockey right now. Enjoy it all. Good luck in your pools. We'll talk next week.
Yeah, take care, guys. Good luck.
Ciao.
Buona notte.